We have seen how the word of wisdom operates through the lips and the mouth of David. And we've seen how it operates through the ears in Samuel's life. And there are other ways in which it operates. Let's look at Daniel, the prophet, how the word of wisdom operates in his life. In the book of Daniel, it says in Daniel chapter 7. So here under operation, you can see all the different ways it operates. And in Daniel chapter 7, it says in verse 1 and 2, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night. So Daniel, for him, he operated through his eyes. Dreams, visions. So the word of wisdom can come through dreams and visions. The word of wisdom can come through just the words and spoken words or psalms, spoken words. And the word of wisdom can come through a voice. A voice. Personally, you know, I could distinguish the inner voice of the Spirit and the voice of the Holy Spirit. But hearing the voice of Jesus or the voice of God the Father is not so often. There's only one time when I heard very clearly the voice of Jesus. It's distinguishable from the voice of the Holy Spirit. And that was when I was in the Baptist parsonage. And I was still a student pastor there. I was on my 40-day fast. And towards, I believe, about three-quarter way through the 40-day fast, early one morning, probably, I don't know the time, but I know it was still dark, so probably about 4, 5 or 6 before the sun rose, I was suddenly wide awake. And then from the opposite end, I heard this very gentle, still voice that says, you know, I love you. You know, my child, I love you. And just the sound of that voice caused me to break down in tears and cry. I knew it was God for me, His love. And that's sometimes it can come through the voice. I don't know how the voice sounded to Samuel, but some people hear voices. And remember, some people out there in the world who are affected by demonic voices, when they are born again, filled with the word, cleanse and renew in their mind, they begin to hear the voice of angels and the voice of the Holy Spirit and the voice of God easily. It was just the same gift twisted by Satan. And if you want to know what strong points you have, look at those weak points that you have, strangely. Because every weak point is always something the devil has twisted in your life. For example, let's say a person who is a very hard person. Right? That looks like a negative quality. But then, that weak point is also a strong point. The person is a tough person who is designed by God to push through tough things. But that toughness and hardness that was supposed to be a positive point has been used by the devil until, twisted by the devil until that hardness becomes something that hurts people. It was not designed to do that. It was designed in order that the person fit in right at the front line when he has to bang against the brick wall and he needs that toughness to survive. Back home in Asia, I know of a lady evangelist, and she was definitely an evangelist. She's a very tough person. One of the toughest ladies I've ever seen. But very anointed. And she's so bold and so brave. She will go right down to the street to a total stranger. And led by God, of course, she'll be led by God, and she even go to them and says, you need to repent of your sin. She has been spit at, mock at, kick at, slap at, and she still goes at it. But you know, every week, she brings 3, sometimes 10 people to Christ. Of course, she may have a lot of failure rates too. But she's always at it. And in fact, before she came to Christ, her whole being was so crushed that she actually was in a mental institute for some time. See how far the devil had pushed her. And then, when she comes to Christ, she has this toughness about her, and she needs that toughness to survive on the street. But a lot of people get hurt by her who don't understand her. You know, it's alright when once in a while, in the body of Christ, you know, sometimes you hurt people, not realizing you hurt people. Sometimes you say things, you know, that you don't realize that at the same time could be hurting somebody else. You're just being yourself. Ever heard of everything? You're just being yourself. And the body of Christ needs to be mature enough to allow everybody to be themselves, knowing that it's never the intention of the person to hurt or to destroy. But whenever the hurts or all this occur, what we should do is learn, hey, maybe we are fitting the wrong way. We're trying to put a square peg in a round hole. Maybe if we position ourselves differently, it doesn't hurt anymore. Because then you find, hey, you're of a benefit. Now, just like an army marching, right? The front line must be the toughest soldiers, right? Nowadays in the army you have ladies and men, and in many countries they're still not allowing the ladies to be in the front line. They can do the different things in battle. They do allow them to go in the battle now, but not in the front line. And so in the front line must be among the most toughest soldiers, hardened people. And brave. And then you have the others coming in. But way at the back, you also need people to come in as administrators to know what to do. Because if you're right in the front and just a destroyer, and which is one of the things that happened that caused Hitler to lose the war. Because although he was conquering place after place in Russia as he slowly go in, of course the Russian winter really defeated him. But there are things that the Russians did was they destroy everything before they left those towns and surrendered those towns. So by the time his army reached there, there was not enough food, supplies and everything, and they can destroy an army. And they're so far from home. And so they couldn't. They found that, you can win and still lose. And so there are different strategies that involve. And in the body of Christ, you need everybody. You need the tough people to go out in the street. Let me ask you, how many of us would regularly go out on the street and be knocked down and rise up, knocked down and rise up again? You know, if we are not made for that, you just go 5 times and you'll be so discouraged and down, you may be backslidden. But yet at the same time, opposite those people, you need some of the softest people in the world. They are like a cotton ball. Say, hey, do we need such people? Oh yes. They're so soft that everyone who feel hurt can come and hug them, and the softness heals them. And yet these people are necessary in the body of Christ, which has a different place from the other person. And that's where all the body of Christ fits into the things of God. Here their dreams, their words and their voices, and each one fits in a different area in God. Then we have in Daniel visions, in Daniel chapter 8, again it says, I saw in a vision. So for Daniel, he was a prophet, but he operated through visions. And then we have in the book of Acts, as we go into the New Testament, a different type of prophet. There are two prophets that come. Especially one named Agabus with his group of prophets. Acts 11, you see him operating the word of wisdom. Acts 11. It says in verse 27 to 30 in the book of Acts, in those days prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in days of Claudius Caesar. So he predicted. He had a word of wisdom in what is to come. But the interesting thing here, it says in verse 28, he stood up and showed by the Spirit. I don't know what your translation says, but in the Old King James, it says he's signified by the Spirit. Now, Agabus was a different type of person from everybody else, and he was what I call a very visual aid prophet. He's a very demonstrative prophet who showed by actions his prophecy. That's right. Ezekiel is another very visual prophet. And can you imagine lying down on one side for a number of days and then lying down on the other side for a number of days? And worse still, how about a person like Isaiah? Wasn't he the one who walked around naked and said, everybody will look like me soon? Thank God we don't have prophets like that today, right? They may be arrested. So, this, and then, what about this guy who, it could be Isaiah, who buried all his clothing under his smells and sting. Wears it again and say, you guys will be like that soon. That's a very visual prophet. And wasn't it Ezekiel who cut his hair and the hair must be distributed in this way and that way? And wasn't he the one who make a mold or some sort of figurines on the ground and says this is what it represents and this is what will happen in Jerusalem? So there are these visual prophets. So Agabus was one of those visual prophets who prophesy or demonstrate the word of wisdom through his hands and actions. And another prophecy that came forth was in Acts chapter, looking over Acts chapter 21, verse 10 onwards, it says, and as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus, amen, came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind a man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. So there you have it, an action prophet. Action man, right? Action prophet. And he's so demonstrative. He walks straight in and takes Paul's belt, and didn't say a word. Ties himself up and says, this will happen to the man who owns this belt. That's a different way of prophesying. He demonstrates the word of wisdom through his actions. I have not found a word of wisdom coming through the nose yet. Smell. I know. But that's, a possibility of coming forth. But so far we identify at least these four senses of operation.
Yes. And
that's right. But there's no prophecy involved. It's a statement of the sweet smell that comes forth.
Talking about his presence.
Yes, and you can identify his presence sometimes for those who have this their spiritual sense of smell trained to smell it. And occasionally you have phenomena where actually people smell the presence of Jesus. And we have people experience that. And but it has not been used in terms of a prophecy. In that sense, that all these are prophets operating that way. Although, I have come across an evangelist who does deliverance. His specialty is the nose, which we will touch on when we cover the gifts of healing and how the gifts of healing operate, which is an interesting phenomenon. But since we are touching on the word of wisdom, we are very focused tonight, looking at how the word of wisdom operate. Can operate through dreams and visions, that's the eyes, can operate through the mouth. It can operate through the ears, through hearing, can operate through hand action. Sometimes in some individual, all are operating in that manner. And it changes. But in some other individuals, only one particular style of operation comes. And in the Bible, the majority of the word of wisdom came through spoken word, the utterance, the mouth. And among them is the Psalms, all spoken word coming forth. And probably it would remain so. the New Testament church. These are all the different operations. Why do we need to understand them? We know that the word of wisdom is a revelation of things concerning the future. But how can it come into our lives is the key. You may know what it is, but when you learn how it comes, then we are more open to how it could be operating in our life without us realizing it. Although the word of wisdom is especially operated in the Bible by prophets, it is not an exclusive gift that belongs to prophets. All prophets would usually have the word of wisdom. But not all who have the word of wisdom necessarily are prophets. You do have the body of Christ. Within the body of Christ, people who have that. Let me give an example here in the book of Acts, chapter 21, in verse 4. Paul was traveling on his way to Jerusalem, and in Acts 21, verse 4, it says, "Finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go to Jerusalem." Now, what's happening here? There's a definite gift of the Spirit operating here that we need to identify. There is a group of people here in Acts 21, verse 4, who told Paul not to go to Jerusalem by the Spirit. Look, it's the word capital S, the Spirit. Told Paul through the Holy Spirit not to go. Why did they do so? Firstly, let's establish this. It was God's will for Paul to go to Jerusalem. How do we know that? Paul says in Acts 20 that he says, "See, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me." Now, there are two things here. Number one, Paul knew that the Holy Spirit wants him to go to Jerusalem. Number two, Paul knew that what was to happen there is not outwardly pleasant. He was going to be in prison. So Paul knew all those things. And the other confirmation we have is that when Paul was in Jerusalem and he was actually captured by them and placed into prison, the Lord actually appeared to him and told him about what he was going to experience. So Jesus was still with him. When you read the story later on in the book of Acts, Jesus appeared to him. So we established that it was God's will for him to go. No shadow of a doubt. And it's important to establish God's will. See, God's will is established by what you personally hear in God. No prophet, no apostle, no pastor, no one outside of yourself should tell you what God's will is. You and you alone in your prayer time and in your devotion with God should determine what God wants you to do. Every person outside is a counselor who can only confirm what God has spoken to you. And it's important for us to know that, because God doesn't want anyone running your life except it's you who is accountable for your own life. And so remember to hear from God yourself. So Paul knew it. Now, the situation is that he comes here to this city, stays here 7 days, and he has this group of people who says, "Don't you go." Now, what I believe happens is this. Through the Spirit, they had a word of wisdom of the danger that Paul will be going through. They perceived danger, they sensed danger, and they knew that it was going to come upon. Who knows, some of them may even have dreams and visions of seeing Paul all bound up or tied up or in prison. So definitely, I would say, they have the word of wisdom about Paul, about what was to happen to him. And here is where the human soul comes in. In the natural, who wants to go to prison? Who wants to be in prison? Who wants to suffer loss? Who wants to suffer all those things that are not, you know, pleasant to the physical body? Nobody. So they have a word of wisdom, but they interpret the meaning of the word of wisdom with their soul. Therefore, I conclude, Paul should not go, because it's never good to have those things. And so you have the word of wisdom operating, and then the interpretation about the word of wisdom was incorrect. The word of wisdom was correct and in the spirit, but the interpretation was incorrect. When you have the interpretation incorrect, guess what? You will have the application incorrect. So they apply the whole thing wrongly and say, therefore, do not go. But Paul knew that he has to go. And Paul says, you know, Paul even cried, hey, you know, let me go. To prove that what we say is true, you notice that when Agabus came and prophesied to Paul, and saying, the man to whom this belt belongs is going to be in prison, you know what happened after the prophecy? In verse 12, everyone, including some of the apostles around him, Barnabas and Luke, when we heard these things, pleaded with him, Paul, don't go. Look at verse 12. The prophecy was real. Paul knew in his heart he has to go. Paul knew what was to happen. For him, it was only confirmation. But everyone pleaded with him not to go. Because our human soul affection comes in. Because it was not natural to allow that. It goes against the grain of our human nature. And you know what Paul said in verse 13? He says, what do you mean by weeping? Some of them were crying. Breaking my heart. Valentine's Day, don't break any hearts. For I am, Paul says, I'm ready not only to go, but I'm ready to die. Because he said, if it's God's will to die, then he wants to die. What a man. What a man. And here's where the softness and hardness come. Remember, I said, each one find their place. Barnabas was a soft guy. Paul was a tough guy. And both are needed. Sometimes when they come together, they quarrel. You read about a famous quarrel that took place at the end of Acts 15. So that Barnabas and Paul has to go different ways. Right? Quarreling about who? Mark. Because Paul was a tough guy. This guy failed me. I'm not taking him again. Barnabas, who was always a soft guy, keep on helping and helping and helping. You know, one of those guys who will help 1,000 times. And yet in the end, Mark was redeemed. Paul says he was, you know, at the end in his life, in 2 Timothy, he says, Mark is a blessing to me. So to each, they have their place. Now here we come to the word of wisdom. Interpretation is important. Without the proper interpretation, we will apply the word of wisdom wrongly. Now, it doesn't mean that when we have the word of wisdom, that we definitely understand the word of wisdom. Sometimes it has its own time frame to be understood. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, it says that those prophets are all prophesying about Jesus, and they were seeking to understand, but they don't understand because it's reserved for the New Testament people to understand. And God can use you to prophesy and yet not understand the prophecy. And that's not understanding, you couldn't apply it. See, your job in giving the word of wisdom is just about the word of wisdom. And look at the dreams that Daniel had. Let me ask you this question. Can you interpret those dreams without the Holy Spirit? Definitely you can't. But that's definitely a word of wisdom that came through dreams and visions. And it needs a lot of interpretation. So the Holy Spirit needs the operation of it can come forth. There are many ways it can come forth. And sometimes even if it comes through the psalm, do you notice sometimes you receive a poetry from the Lord, or a word or a psalm from the Lord that is prophetic, that has a word of wisdom, you yourself don't understand? And you could be just writing it down? And have you ever interpreted some of the tongues or songs that come to you, and you wrote them down and say, I don't understand this? And we need to pray for the understanding, which has its own time to come. And then only can we apply the word of wisdom accurately in what God wants us to do. The word of wisdom. As it comes, learn how it operates. Then wait on God for its interpretation. An action, right, can be clear, but sometimes you don't understand. And then in time, God will help you to apply the word of wisdom. The only story I can end with is sometimes like a dream. When you have a dream, you don't understand it. You write it down. But when the time comes for you to understand, it just drops on you. And you just know. Before that, you could try bits and pieces, but you don't really see. When it happens, you know, this is it. And it confirms. But when it comes time to apply, God will give you the understanding. The same Spirit who operated it will be the same Spirit who interpret it. And then we obey and apply it. But sometimes God gives to someone the word of wisdom and to another the interpretation of that word of wisdom. Two different persons. And it operates. Like God gave to Nebuchadnezzar the dream. He didn't understand. Not understand it. Daniel did. God gave to Pharaoh a dream. He didn't understand it. Joseph understood it. And then he applied it. Sometimes all three, operation, interpretation, and application, can come to one person. Sometimes all split into three, but we need to wait on God. All come from the same source, the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Let's pray.